You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Now, before you left home this morning, did you grab an energy bar to eat during your commute, as a snack at your desk? Was it your actual breakfast or lunch today? According to our guest, bars are the hottest and maybe strangest category in natural foods. They're a $5 billion industry made up of dozens of brands and geared toward various kinds of specialty demands. You can find bars for breakfast, protein, women's nutrition, paleo, vitality, even meat. So how did Americans get so turned on to energy bars, and what does that say about us and the food we eat? Mark Peruzzi is the editorial director of Mountain Media and a contributing editor to Outside Magazine. Mark, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We'll talk about when these, what we now call energy bars, first came on the scene a couple few decades ago. Where did they come from?
They kind of sprung up from the endurance sports crowd, you know, cyclists and endurance runners and that outdoor crowd. I wrote this article for Outside Magazine, and that's definitely our purview. And it was the first one to really go mainstream was a product called Power Bar, which you still see in stores quite a bit and is still alive today. And that came out in the late 80s, in 1986. It was put together and they launched it in 1988. But it was a niche product back then, really, that mountain bikers embraced more than anybody.
And the idea was this was going to be something that was more convenient, right, and concentrated than having a plastic baggie filled with, I don't know what. What were people eating instead?
Yeah, back then you would have a little plastic baggie with some Fig Newtons in it and probably a banana in your jersey pocket. But those foods work really well, but you know, it's hard to jam a banana into a backpack, and you can't wrap a Fig Newton around the handlebar of your bike, which is what people did with those first power bars. You just kind of peel them off slice by slice from their handlebar covered in God knows what from the trail.
Now, over the years, I don't eat them so much lately, but over the years, I have eaten a fair amount of various kinds of energy bars. I am not an endurance athlete, and I'm not alone. These things exploded beyond their original market. How did that happen?
It's truly bizarre to think about, but in the 1990s, those endurance athletes started to eat other products. They eat on gels, they're called. It's essentially a little blister pack of gelatin with sugar that you squeeze in your mouth on the bike. And then another product called a gel block, which is essentially like a chewy gelatin block for quicker, easier energy. So energy bars should have almost died off at that point, but instead people began eating energy bars as meal replacements. And that's kind of where we're at today. It's turned into a $5 to $6 billion global industry of people eating all manner of energy bars instead of breakfast and more instead of lunch.
And from the original power bars, we see more and more new players in the market. And you share in your piece kind of, you know, a rags to riches dream for some people who started off baking stuff in their home kitchen and ended up with multi-million-dollar companies. Can you talk about the days of that happening?
Yeah, it seems like this almost universal origin story for these companies. Gary Erickson from Clif Bar fame is probably the biggest success story. Clif Bar is now the biggest energy bar producer globally, as far as I know. And he, like you and I, he ate power bars on a bike, and he got to a point where he couldn't eat a single power bar. It's called bar fatigue in the industry. So he went home. And he wasn't much of a baker, but he tried to whip together some more natural ingredients into bar form. And a couple of years later, Clif Bar was launched, and it's a massive company. They hand out millions of bars each year, and that's kind of their number one form of marketing. It's just the bar handout.
Now, the big question about these bars are they really just upscale candy bars, or are they healthier for us? Are they healthy for endurance athletes? Are they healthy to replace that meal?
Well, there's a giant range of product on the market right now. They're all healthier, I would say, or almost all of them are healthier, I would say, than a traditional candy bar. You know, they feature real chocolate and a lot of nuts and nut butters. And those nuts and nut butters are good for you. But to replace a meal more than once or twice a week with them is from my reporting nutrition over the years, that it's not a good idea. You should still be eating real foods. And some of them are really just glorified candy bars. You know, if you look at a Kind bar, which is a very simple list of ingredients, but it's in many ways it's kind of a deconstructed Snickers bar, meaning they put the chocolate on the bottom and the nuts up top, and you look at the nuts when you're in the store, but you buy it again and again probably because you like the taste of chocolate.
Talking to Mark Peruzzi, editorial director of Mountain Media, contributing editor to Outside Magazine, talking about the rise of energy bars from a niche product for athletes to a meal replacement, a snack for just about everybody. Mark, is the market for these energy bars getting saturated? Is there room for that home baker to grow that million dollar business now that there was, say, 15 years ago?
Yeah, my reporting kind of showed two different points on that. One source was like, you need to rethink how you get into this business, and you need to, you know, make some samples of your product, maybe distribute them in the town where you live, and then immediately go after some sort of venture capital type money so that you can launch it nationally. And then another source who worked for Whole Foods as a global buyer for many, many years thinks that you can still do it the traditional method, which is bake up some product and bring it to a local grocery store and local coffee shop and go that way. And one brand, the RX bar, they did exactly that, and they just sold their company for many, many millions of dollars. They mixed together about four or five ingredients, made a bar, and went from CrossFit gym to CrossFit gym selling them with essentially their business card on the back of the packaging. And it took off with that audience, and that's a growing market of people.
Now, this idea that we can replace maybe our busy working lunch by just peeling open a label and eating one of these power bars, it seems like that says something about our priorities at work and in our food. Does this mean something, that we've turned to this super fast alternative to actually eating a meal?
Yeah, and there's kind of good news, bad news on that front, too. And the good news is that, you know, Outside covers the outdoor industry. And outdoors people, and they tend not to go sit down for a three martini lunch like my grandfather did back in the 1950s and 60s. They're skipping lunch and going for a run, and they're either eating these products before or after a run. But it also speaks to the fact that Americans just don't one bake anymore, because a lot of these products you can make something similar in your home, or really even cook anymore. And they're, you know, my wife was in the grocery store just the other day, and she saw somebody picking up about 15 to 20 of the same type of bar. They're eating these bars for lunch when they're not exercising, for breakfast, and possibly even dinner.
You are still skiing and biking, I imagine. Do you use energy bars as part of your fuel for that, or do you do something else now?
I do something else. I used those gel and gelatin block products for years on the bike, but now there's a company out of Vermont that just puts pure maple syrup into these little blister packs, and your body absorbs it really well, and it doesn't cause any stomach problems. And when I'm skiing, I kind of reverted to what I did before energy bars were around. I have, you know, some Fig Newtons or some dates and nuts, or just whole foods in a little wax paper bag, and call it good, because these products are essentially the same thing, but they've been more processed and marketed, and you end up spending a lot more money on the pre-made stuff, and I don't think it personally tastes as good.
Mark, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Mark Peruzzi is the editorial director of Mountain Media and a contributing editor to Outside Magazine. We talked to him about the history and growing popularity of energy bars. I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.